today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedian Jonas Barnes. Thank you for doing the pod.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, you are also a horror podcaster as well. Do you want to tell everyone what your podcast is called?
Yeah, I am on another goddamn horror podcast. And we were thinking about it. We dropped the F-bomb in the first title, and somebody already had that title. So we were like, okay, so we're not the only douchebags. All right, cool.
That's so funny. Yeah. And I'm so excited to hear your story. Are you in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn.
Great.
I'm over in Bushwick.
Cool. With all the comedians in Bushwick. I love, when I lived in New York, I lived in Red Hook, but I would say to my husband, I don't think we're taking our comedy career seriously enough, because otherwise we'd be in Bushwick. Where do your stories take place? Are they New York stories?
So, funny enough, one of my stories is super old, and it's a story about the first time that I kind of realized that I believed in ghosts. Ooh. Slash spirits slash something outside of our physical body. And that was actually when I was 16. So that one definitely was not in New York. That wasn't even in the U.S.
Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in the U.S. I actually grew up in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. Seattle, Portland area. I have quite the auspicious beginning. I was born homeless in Portland, Oregon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. My mom is awesome. She like hustled pool and stripped, like, just to keep us alive. And then we moved to Washington State. Lived there for pretty much my entire childhood, and everything was in Washington State. And then I lived in Portland for a little while after that again, and then eventually moved to New York for the entertainment stuff.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So where does your story take place?
Germany.
Ooh, I was just there.
Okay.
I had a horrible experience. I left my phone on a train. Ha ha ha. I did a day trip to Trier, and then when I was in Luxembourg, and then I went to Frankfurt to visit friends, and Frankfurt is not the coolest. And then we went to a small city that I cannot remember the name of, which is where I left my phone. My phone ended up in Nuremberg. My husband very coolly went to Nuremberg to go get it and bring it back to me. So that was
listen,
very nice.
Can you just like go to another city in Germany to pick up my phone that I kind of left on a train? Like
it was like the nicest thing he's ever done for me, because it was so expensive to get there. I'm like, we both can't go. And he's like, well, you're not going without a phone. And I was like, I'll take your phone. And maybe this is all a ploy for him to not, for me to not see what's on his phone, but whatever.
Yeah. You try to take his phone, he's like, absolutely not. I'm getting on the train right now.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly how it happened. Anyway, where is your story? I'm going so off topic this evening, but I'm sorry. Where's your story?
So my story goes back to when I was 16. So I was 16 years old, and I was in high school, and we had this weird thing that happened in high school where we did a trip to Europe that wasn't technically sponsored by the school, but it was done by the teachers in the school during summer break. So during a break time.
Cool.
So it wasn't sponsored by school, but there was a lot of teachers involved with it and a lot of students. And we also met up with a bunch of students that were similar from the South. And I want to say it was one of the Carolinas, but it was like, it was a cool trip. So what we did is we actually flew into Frankfurt, mm-hmm. Which I agree with you on that. Frankfurt is not the coolest. We flew into there. Then we did like a little round robin thing around Europe. So the whole trip was actually started in Frankfurt, went down through Germany. We went to like Munich, Heidelberg, like we went to a bunch of different places. And then we came back up through like Switzerland, Austria. Like it was this big, like awesome trip.
That's so cool.
So at this point in my life, I was not like, I'm not religious really in any way, shape or form, mm-hmm. From like an organized religion standpoint. But at this time, I kind of had the split thing going where, like, my parents were definitely not religious, but they weren't, like, they weren't also, like, you know, like, there's no God or, like, anything mm-hmm. like that. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. anything like that. But then my extended family was, like, psychotically religious.
Okay.
So, like, I couldn't even watch the Ninja Turtles movie because they said it was satanic. So I'm like, oh, all right, I was somewhere in the middle where I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So yeah. Like, it was just, I don't know what's going on. My brain at that point just like had no real like grasp of whether there was like any kind of an afterlife or like a, you know, spirits or ghosts or whatever. But I was into horror, so like ghosts were a thing that I knew about, and they mm-hmm. were a thing that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. So we go to Europe, and when we're in Germany, one of the things that we were doing, because it was partially a school trip type of thing, was we were hitting a lot of the places that were like historical, educational stuff that was just like, oh yeah, we can actually tell you cool stuff that you might learn about next year.
Yeah.
And one of those places that we went to was Dachau. Anybody that's not aware of what Dachau is, it is a concentration camp. Definitely not the funnest side trip in the world. Yeah. In fact, we're going for sad boy trip here. So that was like one of the things, but also we were all interested in like the history of it, because like the stuff that we learned in school was just through books and everything like that. But like to see it face to face was just like, it was a whole different animal.
Yeah.
But there was a very specific moment where my brain clicked, and also the experience was shared with multiple people in the group, where something happened to where it was just like, oh shit, that's something else. Like that's another thing. Like that's, there's something else going on that is not physically with us right now. And it was kind of a thing where all of us looked at each other like, did we both okay.
Oh, I'm
like,
so excited.
So what happened, like, first off, just to give you a little build up to this, when we were there, it was hot. Mm-hmm. Like it was very hot there. It was okay. It was not like, there wasn't even a breeze. Like it was sticky. It was gross.
It's did summer. Not
yeah. It yeah. was just, it was nasty. So the reason I bring that up is because when we went there, the entrance to Dachau has like arches, and it has like, you know, it has a lot of the stuff that you would see in textbooks and things like that. Like a lot of the pictures, very accurate, like, you know, to what they are, even if they've been like, you know, broken down over the years, there's still very specifically an entrance to this place. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we all walk up here. We're all sweating. We're all hot. We're all miserable. We're just like, ugh. And now we're going to a concentration camp. This is going to be fun. You know, like,
we're all
like feeling it. Okay. The moment that we walked through that gate, it was ice cold.
Whoa.
But it was just at the entrance of the gate. So like but it wasn't ice cold from an external standpoint. Like, uh-huh. It wasn't like we had icy air blowing on us. It wasn't right. like...
Or one of those, like, air curtains that they put yeah, up, yeah. They have in the summer, basically. Yeah. Or I
right.
guess,
it was yeah. nothing like that. It wasn't even on our skin. Like, it wasn't that. Like, our skin was still sweating and hot and everything like that. But to our core, it was instantly ice cold.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was the kind of ice cold where it was not like... Like, if you've ever taken an ice plunge, or if you've ever, like, stepped in a cold thing of water or something like that, it wasn't that kind of a chill. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, something hit you in the chest that sent a wave of chill through your whole body.
Oh, my gosh.
So, when I felt it, I immediately was like, whoa, the fuck was that? Like, I was like, what was that? And then I look over at, like, the rest of the people that are there with me. And all of them had, like, not all of them, but I would say at least half of the people had, like, a very similar reaction where they were like, whoa.
I wonder if that happens, like, every time.
I have no idea. Like, and the thing that was weird about it is, like, we looked around, too. All of us were looking around. Was like, we were like, is there, like, an air conditioner around here? Like, what is there? Yeah. What was that? Like, and, like, also, it was, again, we were in a group of people, so we weren't, like, shouting it from the rooftops. But we were kind of looking at each other like, did you get cold? Like, because that was like, I felt like I was shivering, but like on the inside. And they were like, yeah, dude, like I felt that too. And it was kind of like, it was this whole thing back and forth where we were kind of just looking at each other like, whoa, like that was strange.
Yeah.
And so as we're taking this tour throughout the grounds, again, there's nothing happy about this place. So you're going to have those feelings of like somber, sadness, those things. You're going to have those things anyway. But when we would get to certain places in it, like in the grounds, you would kind of have that feeling again. It wasn't as intense as when you walked in, but like when you would get to certain parts of it where there was like a particularly large amount of trauma that happened, you know, like a mass grave or something like that, like a place that there was very clearly a very large amount of trauma that happened, you would get there and you would have this, like, again, this feeling of like unease, but like very chilly, cold unease, you know? So it happened multiple times throughout the trip at that specific place. And like I said, it was one of those things where we were just looking at each other. It's like we didn't take any drugs. Like, it's not that kind of trip. Like, did you also feel it? And yeah, we were all of us, you know, a lot of us were just like, whoa, like that was strange. So as we left, I was just like, huh, that tells me that, like, at least for me personally, that tells me that there's something there, even if it's just energy. Like, even if it's just energy that is like is unresolved, or, you know, just something like that, whether it's a ghost per se or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But it was definitely something otherworldly where it was just like, that was not physical. Like, that
it
was,
just tells you that invisible stuff is real and energy is real. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was the first time like it clicked in my head where I was like, okay, maybe there's something else going on. Like, cause that's wild, you know? And I, yeah, like I said, I was 16 and then I never really had anything happen past, like, I had little things happen here and there where I would see or feel things that would just be like, oh, that could be a little ghosty, you know, like that could be a little spirity. I don't know. But nothing like as intense as that was. And just to give everybody an idea, I have lived through a lot of things in my life. Like, I've had lots of loss. I've had lots of like addiction problems. I've had like stuff that I've recovered from, but like, I've had lots of things where if there was a potential for, you know, some sort of weird spiritual stuff to happen, like it could have, like it for sure could have, you know, like stepped in and done some, but I never really had any of it. And there's one other time, I'll actually tell you three things because this one's quick and it's funny. I always kind of actually said this one was because I was stoned, but but it's not. It wasn't because I was stoned. It was the most aggressive. It was definitely the most aggressive situation I could feel that I feel as far as like, you know, spiritual stuff goes. I had moved out of my house. I was going through a rough period of time. I just got done being homeless because I was one of those kids that like I moved out. And then, like, even though I failed after I moved out, I was like, I'm not going to move back home. I'm going to, you know, I lived in my Jeep for like 6 months. I was like, this is really shitty. I'm going to go back somewhere else. Like, so I was living by myself. I, at this time, I was smoking a lot of weed. And it was a thing where I had a night where I was particularly stoned. I was watching TV, and the apartment that I had was a loft apartment. So it had like spiral staircase, went up to the loft bedroom and living room. Cool. It was awesome. Yeah, it was great. Super cool bachelor pad. So I had that, and the bathroom was like right behind my living room couch. Okay. And because of that, I could hear if something was going on in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, it was because it was right behind me. So it was no big deal. So I go in there, or I go into the living room watching TV, and all of a sudden I hear something in the bathroom. But what I hear is something slam into my bathroom door.
Ooh, weird.
So I'm like, am I so high that somebody broke into the house and I didn't know it? Did something fall?
Crazier things have happened. Yeah.
Right. Like, I was high. Like, I was baked out of my mind, but I was not like, let somebody into my apartment and forget that I did that baked, you know?
Right.
So I get up very hesitantly and I'm like, okay, what the hell was that? And I open up my bathroom door, and my body soap that I had from the shower had been thrown all the way across the room.
Whoa.
It was at the foot of the door. So I was like, again, I was very stoned. So I was like, what happens to be the fuck, sir? What is going on? And then I kind of just left that alone. And I was just like, are you okay? Well, if there's anybody here right now, I don't mean any harm to you, so please don't harm me. And then I just went back into my living room and I was like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Like, because that was weird. Went to bed, woke up the next morning. And I even thought to myself, I was like, did that really happen last night? And then I looked in my bathroom. Sure enough, same thing. Like, it was like all the stuff that was left the way that I had it. And I was just like, okay, time to move out of this apartment. I was like, definitely. It's cool. Love the spiral staircase. Don't love the roommate. Not a fan of the roommate.
Oh my gosh. Did you really leave because you thought it was haunted?
I straight up did. Yeah, I did.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. After that, I was just like, I was like, you know what? I'm out. I was like, that was enough.
What did your landlord say? Did you ask if it's haunted?
No. Yeah. I was like, I did ask him if any like crimes had happened in that apartment. He was like, it's a weird question. I was just like,
he didn't answer.
Okay. Oh no, he said no. He said no, it's a pretty new development and stuff like that. He was like, so no, there's nothing that could have happened there. I was like, all right. So I ended up moving like 3 months later or something like that. And I ended up moving. I moved back in with my parents because I was just like, I'm a fuck up. You know, like so I moved back in with my parents. So those were the early ghostly encounters of my life.
And you have something that's happened to you recently?
Recently, I've had a lot of things happen, specifically surrounding death over the last year and a half or so. It's been a particularly rough, patch as far as death stuff goes. So it kind of like is coming with the territory, I guess, of where if anything's going to happen that's spiritual, it might happen now.
Yeah.
It's prime time to do it. Most recently and most crushingly, my fiance died.
Oh gosh, so, I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not fine, but like, it's, you know, it happened. And like, honestly, this is kind of funny because, she was a comedian and she was a comedian in Northern California. And I did tell her, like, we kind of like knew that shit was going down cause it was addiction related. So like we kind of knew that there was a possibility. So it was one of those things like where it was a shock, but it wasn't a surprise. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. I told her that if anything happened, obviously I would move on. I would do my thing. But also I did tell her that I would write jokes about her because we were both comics. Yeah. And like, when we were going to get married, like it was going to be a wedding and then it was going to be a roast for the reception. Like,
yeah, that's wonderful.
And like, we both had absolute like toilet minds as far as humor. Like we went dark, like we absolutely went dark. So ultimately what happened is she died of liver failure, which is, you know, alcoholism. It's something that I've experienced multiple times in my life. Something that I almost also did myself, but I was able to turn it around, luckily. But when I ended up writing about her, I just told people that she died trying to make foie gras. So like, it was just like, I said that to an audience and you could tell people that were like foodies in the audience. They just went, oh my God. So like the other people, I had to explain to them what foie gras was and they were like, oh God, it's so much worse now. Like, what is foie gras if not the most delicious version of liver failure, you know? One thing that her and I had in common is that when it came to spiritual stuff, we believed in spiritual, but not religion. Neither one of us really subscribed to any, like, you know, organized religion in any way, shape, or form. But we also both kind of agreed that, like, there's some other shit going on, you know? Like, there's something else going on. So, I always said that whenever I've experienced anything that felt like a visit from somebody that has passed away, it's never been intense. It's never been a thing that's like earth shattering. It's never been a thing where I would like wake up and like be in like a cold sweat or anything like that. It was nothing crazy like that, but it was something that was subtle. And it was something that was very clear that it was just like, oh, that's what that was. So after she passed away and after I went to like the memorial and like, you know, after we did all the really hard stuff, you know, like the memorial and the actual funeral and like all that stuff, I came back home and I had a particularly rough night where it was just like everything was flooding back to me and I was just like, all right, just go to bed, it's okay. Wake up in the morning, go to bed, blah, 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 blah. And at this point, I had dreams and stuff like that. you know, that were kind of like memory dreams and shit like that, which was, I feel like, is normal. But this night particularly, I went to sleep and the quote unquote dream that I had was her coming back home and getting into bed. But what she took off was something that, first off, she would never wear. It was something that was extremely constricting and very, very like she couldn't move in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she took it off and she goes,
was it like a shirt or like a corset
like
or something?
Like a dress corset thing. Okay. Like it was very like, you know, that part of it was not super detailed, but it was very clearly something that was constricting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she took it off. And then when she took it off, she kind of like waved her arms to the side and just went, oh God, I feel free. And then she got into bed. And then I woke up and I was like, bitch, it is 4 a.m. I am not going to go back to sleep.
Well, now then, I'm going to be thinking about this. Yeah.
And then, so when I looked at it, I was like, to me, that was kind of like her way of saying like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Like I'm good now. Because like, I don't know how many people that listen have dealt with like addiction stuff, but like one of the biggest things about addiction when you're in the middle of it is that it feels very constricting. It feels like the world around you is kind of like closing in on you, and you don't have any way to get away from it, because what you're doing to yourself, I mean, ultimately, what you're doing to yourself is trying to run away from all that stuff that's piling in on you, you know? And everybody's journey is different. Everybody has it for a different reason, et cetera. But that's the general gist of it in a very, you know, a very layman term type of thing. There's some shit that's trying to crush you and you don't want it to crush you. So you're trying to do something to get away from it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what you're doing is crushing yourself more, getting more constricted, just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah. So like when I had that experience and I woke up from it, it was kind of funny because like I woke up from it and I cried, but I didn't cry like hard. It was almost more of a relief cry, because it was just like, yeah, you don't hurt anymore. Like that's what it is, you know? And that was the first time I've ever had an experience where like somebody that had passed away had quote unquote visited me when I was asleep. Aside from just like a dream, like a regular dream where I was just like, oh, I had a dream of the time that we were in this place and did this thing. And like, instead of that, it was just like, no. She literally walked into the room and was like, I'm free now. Like,
that's
let's
so
go
beautiful.
To bed.
That's a really lovely story.
It is. Like, yeah. It was one of those things where it's like I said, that was kind of like, you know, I can't even say that like the grief cycle is over, because it's not. But like, that was a very turning point of the grief cycle.
And when was this?
So she died on January 10th.
This year.
Yeah.
Holy so she died smokes.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, still relatively recent. So she died, like the whole timeline of this whole thing is that she died on January 10th. And then the funeral was at the end of January. So I went to California because it was in her hometown. So I went to California, read the eulogy, which was rough. Don't recommend doing that, guys. Wrote and read the eulogy. That was the hardest thing that I've ever gone through as far as like death and all that stuff goes. Flew back, was still feeling it pretty hard. And then in May, we did kind of like a celebration of her life for her birthday. So what we did for that is we went back to California. And we got all of her friends together and we did like this whole like thing where people were telling stories and doing jokes and like roasting her and like showing all the artwork and like all these things. And there's actually a painting of her on the walls of the Savage Henry Comedy Club in Humboldt.
Oh, because that's wonderful.
So that's where she was from. So went and did that in May. And then when I got back from that in May, that kind of felt like a little bit of closure, but there was still definitely something that was holding on, like something that was like definitely still hooked into me. And it was just like, ooh, like it's still something I couldn't shake. So then it was pretty shortly after that. So I want to say what's August now. So I would say right around mid-June is when I had that experience. And that's when stuff kind of started to like make its way into a better place
mm-hmm.
as far as like the processing of everything went. Cause it was like, it allowed me to kind of like back away from it and look at it from an outside perspective as opposed to an inside perspective, just being there with her, where it was just like, yeah, she was suffering, like straight up, you know, she'd had addiction problems for a very long time. And it was one of those things where it was like, she would try and then things would happen and then she would try again and things would happen and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of a revolving cycle, but this last one, it was kind of at the point of no return. And we knew that it was getting close to that. So like, there was some preparation.
Did you know because doctors had told you?
Sort of like the thing. So here's the other thing. She was stubborn as a mule. Like she was absolutely stubborn. So when she went to the hospital multiple times, when she would go to the hospital and the doctors would tell her something about what was going on, she would be like, well, then why the hell am I here? Like, why am I here being miserable, plucked full of needles and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So she would leave against medical advice a lot.
Okay.
And like, so there's multiple times where I had to be like, no, dude, you got to stay so they can at least get you to a point where you're, you know, at least comfortable, you know, like that type of thing. And she did that, you know, to her credit, she did that a few times, but then there was as many times where she was just like, to hell with this, I'm out, you know? And so it was one of those things where like the doctor pulled me aside after talking to her and was like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like if she doesn't stop drinking, she's going to die, like straight up. And she knew that. And it, so it was like, it was one of those things where like, sometimes, you know how somebody, sometimes somebody will say like, you can only fight for so long. Like that's what she felt like. And I don't know, like if anybody has experience with liver failure and stuff like that, but when it's to a point where it was with her, like when it's in its like ending stages or its final stages, it's bad. Like for all intents and purposes, there's no way to say it any more succinctly than that is that it's bad. It's painful. It's miserable. It's all those things. So a lot of times when somebody is at that point, they'll just drink more because, you know, like it's just, it's a numbing thing at that point. So when I had this experience with the dream, that told me that that was her way of kind of like just putting a hand on my shoulder and being like, it's cool. Like, you know what? It's cool. I've been trying to rest for 10 years. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it is shitty. Yeah. It's sad. Yeah. It's all those things just like death mostly is, but at the same time, there are parts of it where you have to kind of look at it where it's going to happen to everybody. It is. It's going to happen to everybody. So if it's a case where you can just like end, you know, whatever the pain was, whatever the suffering was, you know, you kind of have to look at it from the silver lining aspect in that sense. Sometimes that's the way it goes, you know? So yeah, that was the most recent experience with it. And it was wild. Cause like I said, I woke up and it was very relieving in the weirdest way. Cause it was like, that was creepy, but also like I'm way more relieved now, you know?
Well, so yeah. I love ending on that story because it's just, you know, not all weird supernatural stuff is necessarily negative. And I'm really glad that it gave you peace.
Yeah. 100%.
Jonas, tell people where they can find you, your podcast, your comedy, and anything else you would like to plug.
Yeah. So if you want to find me on Twitter, it's just at Jonas Barnes. You can find me on Instagram at Jonas Barnes Comedy. I do both comedy and I also do live concert photography on there. So you'll see photos from like rock shows and stuff like that. And if you want to follow the horror podcast, just go to Linktree, linktr.ee/AGHP666. And we cover so much stuff on the horror podcast. We talk to filmmakers, we talk to punks, we talk to metal artists, we talk to visual effects artists, we talk anybody that has anything to do with horror or likes horror and does really dope art that we enjoy, we talk to them. Like, amazing. We're just all about it. So we've got some really cool shows coming up, really cool episodes coming up because the strike has actually shifted things because we're very, very much on the side of the actors, very much on the side of that. So we've had some guests that we've been like, you know what? Nope. Till the strike is done, we are postponing your episode. So we've had to change up some things, which is been a thing where at first we were kind of like, oh, how are we going to do that? But then it kind of shifted over to do some cool stuff. And it also allowed us to put more attention on indie artists, which is good. So,
awesome. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So if you're into horror, definitely check that out. We talk a lot of shit over there. It's very fun.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It was good. It was cathartic. I like it.
It was great.